Welcome back to Crunch Time. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal than the team at Ringwood Mazda. Check out the new CX-3. It is sensational. Time for our Saturday Spotlight. And, well, we mentioned earlier about your article with Phil Walsh, Robbo, and the fact that you were able to spend this wonderful time in the inner sanctum. And there's so much to talk about what he told to you, but about his coaching and the Crows. But I guess what we wanted to really focus on in our Saturday Spotlight is the news story you got out of it in terms of what he believes is, I guess, the disconnect between the way the game is played at the top level and the media's challenges in actually presenting it to the grassroots level, the common folk who are watching our game, people who have grown up with our game. It's changed so much, and there's such a difference between how it's played at the top level and those lower levels. And I think it was a terrific article. It was amazing insight.
Yep.
And I think it's very much worth of discussion. So for those that haven't seen it, in your own words, what's Phil's concerns?
Oh, well, I tell you, he loves the game, but there was a but, Kingy, there was a but. He goes, coaches go in because they've got this romantic, and they most played the game, and they've gone through a period before this massive change to the game through the 2000s. And he goes, you know, coaches get scarred because the game they're coaching is so far removed from the game they played that they feel that fans don't know what's going on, because coaches don't allow media into their mind and say, right, this is what's going on. So fans come to the game, and they say, yeah, that was good, but when Phil Walsh talked about shrinking the ground and stretching the ground, which is, you know, defence and offence. I know I hate those words, but that's just the words they use in coaching now. And he goes, it's really difficult for media to report on how the game is won and lost. Now, Kingy, you're the closest we've got from being in the coach's room, right? And that was what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
You do know their terminologies by catching up with them now, and that's the one advantage.
It's the only way.
That's why you have to go and watch training during pre-season to understand what they're talking about, what they're educating the players, what they're trying to get. They talk about the squeeze a lot, and it's basically when you lose possession, what you can cover. The mass of players, what they can cover. They squeeze up the ground and they try
to
and...
To the side of the ground.
To a side. Every club does it differently. And that's what you go to see. And that's why I think it's so important for the media. And I know Derm does it as well. Seen him pull up on the Harley. Well, not the Harley, the motorbike a couple of times.
The big there. Scooter. Think, yeah, he's the on
big,
the scooter.
He's mate. On the big scooter. and just watch training, because it is a foreign game to what we played, certainly what we played. But every 2 or 3 years... lately, the game's changing dramatically, and it's becoming more and more like soccer and NFL to me, where they make the ground bigger when they're in possession, make it wider, use the, you know, put threats right on the outside lines, what they do with NFL, to get defenders one-on-one. They try and do that. Port Adelaide started that. Ken Hinckley, I thought, started that. I mean, that's the most obvious anyway.
And he praised Ken Hinckley for bringing the game back to the people in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
When I got there, Derm, I got there at 6 a.m., by 6:15 in the morning, myself and Phil Walsh were the only people in their open plan coaching office. And he's going, have a look at this. Have a look at this behind the goals footage of the Western Bulldogs. Who's their opponent in a week and a half?
Yep.
And he goes, have a look at this. And
that's
and
not uncommon. Though,
so why on a Wednesday morning at 6:15?
No, 6:15 is uncommon, but I mean, a week and a half out's not.
So he works in 3 weeks out. He goes, I'm already ticking my mind over about Port Adelaide, who they've got in 2 weeks' time.
Yep.
And he's going, have a look at this. And he was going through play, Kingy, like I was an assistant coach.
Yep.
He's going, right, stop it. Have a look at this. And he's pointing out everyone on the ground. And he forwards at about 5 seconds. And he goes, look what they've done, the Bulldogs. He goes, God, I like the way they're playing. And I'm thinking to myself, fans don't get access to this. I mean, this is...
It's impossible to explain. We see that run, and we think there's no real method to it.
Yes.
That's what fans do, and that's what we as scribes up here sometimes, that we call it their spread, because that covers everybody running in any direction, their spread. There are boys coming through now who are seriously good players, and you both have played, and Hutto yourself, in sporting teams, junior teams, you would have played with kids who were seriously good at sport, but not the best mathematicians, not the best school workers in a scholastic way. You know what? Those kids that come through now, they might have enough talent just to make it into league footy. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand and are unable to accept the information that the coaches we are trying to put into them. Because right now, and I can tell you, like coaching under 14s, 15s last year, Had I had, say, 3 nights a week with a team of lesser standard than the best team, and I coach them in a way that I could squeeze up the ground and do these types of things that we see in league footy, and the methods I know that are employed, you'd beat a team with 25% more ability. There's still a place for the boys to learn how to win their own football. There's still a place for them to play the game. Alan Jeans, 20 years ago, said to me, the beauty of our game is, unlike any other, and I reckon Philip Walsh has probably listened to Jeansy back then, the beauty of our game is it starts in neutral, unlike any other football code. The ball starts in neutral. You have to win it. And it's based upon the principle that wherever that ball goes after that neutral start, there should be a one-against-one contest.
Well, he was talking about it being...
That's a bygone time.
Yeah,
that's
it was a positional
but
game.
But that's the beauty of what our game was based on. Mm. That's why they made the rules, so it broke away from rugby. It broke away from soccer. Yeah. It had its own uniqueness.
I agree with Phil Walsh. He's talking about it's now an invasion game. It used to be a positional game. I long, you know, you watch some of that old footage and some of the skills are terrible and all that, but I long for that element of the game, it being a positional game. Kingy, I sense you don't.
No, I don't. I actually love the footy we see right now. And I think that, you know, we're lucky we go to it every week and we see a lot of games. And I'm a footy nerd.
Yes, you are.
I watch the numbers and I understand what these guys are talking about, what they're trying to achieve. To explain it to people is really difficult.
Is that a problem, though, for the game, Kingy, do you think, that it is so difficult?
I think Fox do a pretty good job. And people make fun of the War Room. I don't. I think the War Room is fantastic.
See, we could take that. I could show...
Behind the goals vision, you say, right, everyone, look at this. And I look at it and I think it's such an educational tool.
But that's even... I'm not going to pee in your pocket, but the War Room, it's great. That's even dumbed down.
It has.
For what's going on out there.
I could show... Say the Western Bulldogs, they do what the old Hawthorn set up, which they call a 4-2 at the back. Four players defensively in a box, and then two at the back of those two. So there's your six defenders, right? It's called a 4-2. Yep. Now, for me to explain that on the War Room, I get people on Twitter or via our feedback on SEN during the week. They say, mate, beyond us, just show us the players. They actually don't want... I think it's gone to a point where the spectator says, I don't want to know that.
No, but that is a problem then, though, isn't it? Yeah, isn't that a problem?
I don't know. I don't know if it is or it isn't, because...
You want people to come to the game and be knowledgeable about it, don't you? I think you do. I think you want people to know what's going on.
I'm with Hutto. Yeah. The problem with harking for history is people say you're stuck in the past. And now, if you welcome
don't want it to be exactly
doing,
the same,
Kingy,
though, Robert.
They say you're being too progressive. You're ruining the game. It's a real
It's a fine line.
It is a fine line, yeah. and it's something the AFL have got a rules committee. We had Brendan Goddard on SEN on Thursday night.
Yep.
Talking about it. Just he's 250 game. Yeah, yep. Well done. Let's move on. He was explaining that one of their young draftees, I think it was Langdon, and they were doing a drill, right, about I might have been squeezing the ground. And Langdon wasn't moving. And Goddard actually said to the assistant coach, is he in the drill? And he goes, yes. But he didn't understand what was going on. Now, Langdon was taken at pick 17. In the national draft. Pick 17. And
Langford, I think it is, isn't it?
Was it? Langford, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't understand what was going on, where he should go. Now, Philip Walsh talks about it. We get these draftees coming in. Roosie spoke about it two weeks on 360. Mm. He goes, mate, we've got five development coaches trying to teach them how to play AFL football. Mm. The under-18s are so disconnected from the AFL.
But they can't have the under-18s playing that style of footy, or you never know which is the best talent.
Absolutely,
They start playing squeeze and all this sort of stuff, they've got rules there. They can't have a loose man. They can't tag. They can't do X, Y, Z.
That's weird, isn't it?
Just so that we can say there's the best 20 players.
But then they change them when they get them.
But you've still got
but
the best 20.
But they still come through.
Yeah, they're still
the best
sorted.
Still come through, don't they?
But Dermy's right. I think Dermy's right. It's the amount of hours that these guys spend at footy clubs now to learn this. These instructions and these where they've got to be in certain situations. It's all situational play.
That's what he said.
Everyone's an attacker.
Is it right that Dermot is teaching 14-year-olds?
No, but I don't teach him. No, I refuse to do it. I'm saying if I did, we'd probably beat a few more teams that
I know,
we don't.
But how far down the...
It gets frustrating, but you've got to teach. You've got to let the boys win their own footy and play against an opponent.
Okay.
How, it frustrates me when there's taggers playing in junior.
How far away? Sorry, Dermot, how far away does AFL get if we're not teaching the 14-year-olds, and nor we should, and we're not even teaching the 17-year-olds? So how far away is the game getting from? I mean, you go to a country game, you wouldn't have a lot of time, and I don't either. But I sometimes do. Go up to Bendigo and have a look.
Yeah.
Mate, that game is stuck in a time warp.
It's enjoyable to watch,
but it's fantastic. So why?
Love league footy. I think it's fantastic because they're the best at their craft, and they'd beat any other team that they play against.
But it's a different. It's the same sort of game. It is the same game, but it's so different.
There's one drastic difference though. At local footy, it is wonderful because they play a lot of man on man. They're just not fit enough. You have no idea how
right,
fit
the league... Right, and now we're going back to the draft.
You have no idea how fit the league athlete is compared to your local footballer who turns up twice, and if he's really good, he probably turns up three times a week for training.
So if he's bad, he turns up three times.
Cameron, there's two elements. Boys, there's two elements to that, though, Derm. One is that, are we drafting the right players? Are the, all not just the good players, but the right type of players, the old-fashioned footballer, if you like? Can he still survive? I know that's been a debate for 10, 15,
but
since
Cooter. It's, a, very good
it's a great debate, and that's where, and I'm not just patting my team on the back, they're ahead of the curve. They just recruit the boys who can kick the footy, and they put the knowledge into them thereafter.
That'll always be the case, Hutto.
Well, then there's the other element, though.
Still want your good players.
But do you lose some players, though, Kingy, who can't athletically do...
No, I don't think you lose them because of athletics at the moment. I think you can get them to a point and you can physically work them to improve, to cope with what the demands of the game are. But what you can't survive with is guys that either have a poor lifestyle and you can't educate. So they don't turn up in the club in a condition where, not just for training, but to sit in a meeting and to take all that information in. I think that's a real concern right now.
Just to go back to Phil Walsh, when I was over there, and I won't tell you what was in it, but Phil Walsh was just fantastic. For a footy nerd as well, he was fantastic. And he said, come here, I want to show you something. And we went into one of the line rooms where they had bean bags, to settle them. Don't stress. Just let's talk about it, but just kick back. He says, watch this. This is a pre-match speech. The night before he gave to the players, went for 15 minutes. And I sat there and watched. I was sitting right next to him. And it was unbelievable access to... And I was really happy because a lot of it was still old style. Challenging.
Effort-based.
Yeah, challenging, effort-based, and challenging individuals.
That's what I call spiritual coaching.
Yeah, and the other half, which I won't go into, was strategy and style. And it was great. And I just wished to myself, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if every single footy lover had access to that?
See, we ask, we at Fox Footy,
it's up to you
catch
to
up with
it.
Coaches.
Well, I tried to today, Derm, in the news and the feature article about it.
We sat with Phil Walsh 3 weeks ago, and we sat with Ross Lyon the week before, John Longmire the week before that, to try and get into that inner sanctum. It is so guarded and so protected.
Yes, which you understand.
I think the average footy lover would get an experience just by hearing a couple of those speeches that would really not only educate but just
resonate with them
about football again.
So they can believe it's still their game.
The coaches don't let it go. They're so worried about the intel of what they're doing getting out that it is, I think that's the disconnect. The coaches own that. They could educate the masses very quickly.
And I wish they did. Last Monday on 360, on the morning on SEN Radio, I was asked about what is Nathan Buckley's game plan.
Yeah.
Because everyone says, what's their game plan? Now, I try to explain, without knowing all this, that the game plan is to try and decide a strategy to stop Adelaide playing blitzkrieg football on them. So what do they do to try and stop that, and what strategy are they going to have? And without actually being in there, I don't know what their strategy was. Mm. So I asked Buckley on 360.
I heard you, yeah.
And he goes, and I said something, and he goes, you've got no idea. Now, it was half serious and half a clip and half... Half nice, but half a clip.
It was an easy clip,
And that's fine. And I know, I'm not supposed to...
No, it was a solid question, though.
Yeah, but I wanted to know. And then he went into some theories and what they try to do and et cetera, et cetera. And whether he was telling the truth, I don't care. But when he was talking, I was fascinated that he's finally telling me and everyone listening this is what we try to do to stop Adelaide, because the week before they just smashed North Melbourne. And what did you do to try? And they were slaughtered in the first three quarters.
There is no magic key. There is no magic key that can make St Kilda win this year's premiership just by strategy.
Yeah.
There's still no magic key to it. There's slightly better principles, slightly better ways of playing for certain groups as to playing to their strengths and the way that they will, wrong terminology, but unlock another opposition. But there is no magic formula which is going to make cheese out of chalk.
I guess the next thing, that maybe just to finish off this discussion, is what happens next? And obviously the next landmark will be what the Commission and the AFL decides in terms of rotations. Now, Mick last night was... he was pretty strong in saying
that. I really enjoyed that interview with Mick. He was great for an hour.
He doesn't want to, any restrictions on the rotations.
Phil Walsh wants 80.
He wants 80.
To come down to try and bring the game back.
What should happen and what will happen in your mind?
I think it will come back. I've got no doubt it will come back. I don't know to what. If it comes down from 120 to 100, everyone will say, well, right, no worries. I think they'll make a significant reduction.
What to achieve what, though? This is what annoys me. Let's work out what we want the game to look like first and then work our way back from that. We're making all these changes on the run with no certainty of what it's going to do. You cap it at 80, and I guarantee you we'll have more flooding in our game.
Well, that's what Mick said. He said we'll make them run 14K instead of 12K.
And that's what Phil Walsh said. He said, what we'll do, we'll introduce the flood, because all the coaches will say, let's park the bus and we'll go again.
It's amazing. Terry Wallace said he went around the world in the early 90s and canvassed elite sporting organisations. He went to American football, he went to English Soccer League, he went to Europe, and he showed them, you know, snippets of our game, and they looked at him like he was mad, and they said, are you serious? You blokes have 18 and you spread them all over the land? Why don't you just keep two up front and put 16 down the back? They nearly all said that.
Yeah,
they couldn't understand why we spread them evenly.
And that's, different mindset, totally.
We
need to take a break.
100 years to get to that.
Great discussion.
It is a great discussion. I know we've got to go, but I tell you, I love it when coaches put major topics on the agenda for us and the people to speak and think about.
Just for the record, Hutto, as you go to the break, I'd go back to 60 and increase the list.
All right. I love it. We'll take a break, come back with a preview of today and the rest of today's game.
Center half forwards again instead of big blonks.
Yeah, you would.
Take a break, Hutto.
We'll try and take a break anyway. This is Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.